And this is a shorter service tonight, and I just want to share briefly on this portion that we've read in Matthew and chapter 9. I don't know what you think about this gentleman behind me, Oskar Schindler. I don't know how you feel concerning his initial motivation. We know how things changed at the end, and this man who was a member of the Nazi party, who saved many Jews from the gas chambers. Initially, he did it for his own benefit financially, but things changed. I don't know if you've seen Schindler's List, the film. I haven't, but I am told that there is one point near the end of the war, when the war was drawing to a close. Many Jews, many who worked for him within his factory that had moved to Poland, had been saved, but he knew that he would always be a fugitive. People would always be after him, certain people. And as he walked with one of his Jewish friends towards his car, he looked down at his watch and he started to weep. And he looked at his car and he cried. And he turned to his friends and he said, "I could have sold those to save more people. I could have done more. I could have done more." I believe the Lord Jesus Christ did all he could. In the reading that we had, we see that he went to all the cities and villages in that area, sharing and preaching the good news, healing the diseased and the sick. And we see how he looked on the crowd, the multitudes, and he saw them as the harvest. And what I want us very briefly to consider tonight is, what did Jesus see as the harvest? What do we see as the harvest? And maybe the characteristics of the harvest. Well, firstly, I think in verse 37 it says that the harvest is plentiful, depending on your translation, of course. You could have plenteous, plentiful, vast, huge. In the world, there are billions of people. So, yes, the harvest is plentiful, almost to the point of being overwhelming. But we also see that the harvest is precious, because as our Lord looked upon it in verse 36, we see that he said, "And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them." It's interesting that the Greek word for compassion is the strongest possible Greek word that is used for the pity for someone else, that real deep concern that someone has, that heartfelt desire, love for someone. That's really, in some ways, what Schindler felt when he looked, wasn't it, at the Jews, that real heartfelt love. They were precious to him. There was a Baptist evangelist whose 9-month-old son was critically ill to the point of almost death. And when he was recounting how he was sitting by his son's bed, and he said to himself, "What would be the thing that I would regret the most if my son died?" And he said, "I would regret that he would never know how much I loved him." He was filled with compassion when he looked at the multitudes. how he wanted them to know, the Lord that is, just how much he loved them and what he was going to do for them and give his all. Yes, the harvest was precious, but I think also it would appear that the harvest was a little perplexed. They were a little perplexed. Depending on your translation, it will say that the crowd being harassed or weary or helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd in verse 36. It almost means that they were totally defeated, that weariness. It was that final punch that just brought you to the ground and you don't get up from. It almost means that they were broken. They were totally broken, without a purpose. They were wandering aimlessly. People without hope, without meaning, without reason for living, like sheep without a shepherd. And we know how they wander. Sheep wander aimlessly. It's, you know, they needed a path to follow. It's just like soldiers, isn't it, when they're going through a minefield. There's one brave soul with maybe some device that will go forward through the field. And he will really sweep left and right to see if there are any mines at all. And I can guarantee that the soldiers that are following him, they step in his footsteps. They won't miss those footsteps. We have one who said, "I am the way." And we need to walk in that path. But also we see that our Lord saw the harvest as perishing. In John 4:35, we see another occasion when our Lord related to the harvest. He says, "Open your eyes, look at the fields. They are ripe unto harvest," or "they are white unto harvest." Now, I don't know anything about farming at all. I can kill a weed. No problem at all with that. But I do understand, and having read about it, that ripened wheat takes on a golden hue. We have friends who live in Wombwell, just outside Barnsley. And for those of you that don't know, that's in England. And that's up north in Yorkshire. And as we used to, when we used to go there with the boys when they were little, we'd look out of the bedroom window and you would see the fields of rye and the fields of wheat, absolutely stunning at particular times of the year. And it looked absolutely majestic. It was fantastic. However, I am told when that wheat turns a little white, it will soon fall to the ground. And when our Lord was speaking here about the fields are white unto harvest, he was stressing the imperative of getting into those fields before it is too late. There's that sense of urgency. Why? The wheat will perish if it is left. It needs to be harvested. It has been said the tragedy with our time is that the situation is desperate, but people are not aware of it. 3 weeks before JFK, President Kennedy, was assassinated, he said these words: "Almost all presidents leave office feeling that their work is unfinished. I have a lot to do and so little time to do it." Never was there a truer word said. What a prophetic word that was. 3 weeks later in Dallas, of course, we know he was assassinated. There is much to do. But finally, yes, we see that the harvest to the Lord was a priority. It was a priority. We see that he's overwhelmed by his love for the people. He sees the vastness of the crowd. He sees the perplexity of their problems. He senses the urgency in reaching them. And then Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field. You see, the Pharisees of that day, the religious leaders of that day, saw the common people, this multitude, as chaff, just to be disregarded, almost thrown away, burnt up. And yet Jesus saw the harvest as one to be reaped and to save. The Pharisees in their pride looked at the destruction almost of the sinners. Jesus, in love, died for the salvation of them. And that's one of the great truths, isn't it, in Christian faith. The harvest is there and it needs to be reaped. We need to go out into the field to this plentiful, precious, perplexed and perishing field. What can we do? Well, we're only responsible for our field, not somebody else's. We can pray, we can go, we can share our story, the good news of the gospel and what the Lord means to us. But you may say there are so many people. The harvest is so vast. The needs are so overwhelming. What can I do? May I close with a story, one that I have shared before many years ago. And I think Rod possibly shared a variation on it some time ago. In America, the beaches are vast, long. This young man happened to walk down onto the beach and he saw this old man walking along the seashore. And he'd bend down and he'd throw something into the sea. And when the young man caught up with the old man, he says, "What are you doing?" And he saw, actually, he was picking up starfish. Starfish that had been thrown up onto the seashore. And he said, "Well," he says, "in this heat, if I don't throw them back, they will die." And the young man said, "But sir, the beach is miles long and there are millions of them. What difference is that going to make?" And the old man picked up one of the starfish in his hand and he threw it into the sea. And he said, "It makes a difference to that one. It makes a difference to that one." I hope our hearts will be stirred to make a difference for that one in this harvest field. "I could have done more," Oscar Schindler said. I pray that we will do all that we can for the one who is the Lord of the harvest, the one who is faithful in all things. Amen.